The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from the thorns, or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. So we begin this reflection this evening. Let us take a moment in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come upon each of us that I may speak the words that God wishes to me to speak, that you may hear the word that the Holy Spirit wishes you to hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, there is no doubt that these last months, year, 2 years, have been a struggle for all of us. We have faced many unusual and strange things. I've made the connection before that it was around the month of October of 2019, where we saw the incredibly regrettable action of the placing of the Pachamama into the Vatican Gardens and in the basilicas in the city of Rome, the heart of Christendom. Then a few days later, with great joy, we witnessed the idols being tossed into the Tiber River in an act of, I think, piety and devotion. But interestingly, after the worship of this idol in the very heart of Christianity, the very unusual and strange event of the COVID virus began to overtake the world. And there have been so many things in these past months that have been new challenges that have been unexpected, and we've had to deal with them in many different ways. From the suppression of public mass virtually throughout the entire world, which I would argue is more connected to the worship of the Pachamama than it is to COVID, then in order to have mass, an incredible number of things that we had to do, and of course our response here of having a parking lot mass, which had incredible moments of spiritual power, no doubt about it. Certainly from my perspective, perched on the cliffside in front of the church, I could see so many people who in acts of piety and devotion would kneel on the gravel or stand outside in the cold, or sometimes I would see them wrestling with young ones in the car and the occasional horn honking as some young hand or foot reached out in the wrong direction. Even hearing stories of people changing the radio accidentally, of course, and tuning into a different channel. It came with challenges, too. There were days that were bitterly cold. days that were sweltering hot. And even on the Christmas Eve Mass itself, as the snow began to fall, and as beautiful as it was, the open spot under the eaves of the shelter was a perfect vent for the snow to come inside the stable and blow around. If I ever wanted to know what it was like to live inside of a snow globe, I learned on that evening. As we've transitioned back into church, one of my biggest fears was that many would have used this break in the routine as an excuse to not come back. And while some no doubt have, the pleasant surprise that I've seen of this church being filled to the brim Sunday after Sunday is a testimony to God's grace and people's faith in the Lord Jesus. There seems to be storm clouds that continue to gather on the horizon. And I don't think that the challenges that we have faced in the past are completely behind us. We have struggled in many ways over this past year or so. But perhaps one of the biggest struggles that we've had is a question of authority. To this day, there are so many times that I hear people ask, who do I trust? Who do I listen to? Who has the answers? Even these last couple of days, I've gotten several text messages from a particular person who was struggling with one doctor telling her one thing and another doctor telling her the opposite. The question of authority, who do we trust? Who do we believe? We face that in the church, and we face it in civil society. The one who is looked upon as the greatest authority to deal with COVID has said, don't wear a mask, wear a mask, wear two masks, don't wear a mask, make sure you wear one inside, no, you need one outside, no, don't wear one outside, wear two inside. I don't know about you, but I'm confused. Between the questions of authority in our civil society and those in our church, it is perhaps one of the greatest crises we actually face. Where do we look to find confidence in what to believe and what to do? We've seen over these last several months some priests who have been very influential in social media, who have spoken very boldly and with great conviction about how we should be thinking about the church and the world. And some of these priests have faced retribution from their bishops. Now, I don't know the whole story, and I don't want any of my comments to be considered as having some sort of inside track on what really happened. I don't know. But the problem that we face is when we see some of these priests that we've grown to trust, and then to face disciplinary actions, we start to question the bishops. But then after a certain amount of time, we'll come across another priest, and then his own problems will come to light, and we question him. We've certainly seen countless confusing and contradictory statements from our Holy Father himself, and some statements which even seem to be contrary to the faith itself. Who do we trust? If there's any crisis that we face, it's a crisis of authority. It's a crisis of trust. And the problem with this is that that can be deeply destabilizing to ourselves. For most of our days, we are so focused on the practical things that are before us, we rightly want somebody else to help us to make the big decisions. When we have to make the decisions on how to take care of our families, how to take care of the particular everyday things, We don't often have times to sit back and ponder the big questions. And we hope and we trust that other people can help figure those things out. But when we surrender those decisions to people we trust, and they either contradict themselves or they're proven to be wrong or untrustworthy, we're left with this uneasy feeling in our life, feeling sort of anchorless in our day. Where do I put my confidence? What can I know to be true? The long-term effect of these past months, year or so, has not even begun to be felt yet. But Jesus gives us an answer. He speaks about knowing them by their fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. So know them by their fruits. Okay, fair enough, right? But how do we even know that the fruit is good fruit or bad fruit? This is where I think the first part of this is important. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now, why would that solve the quandary of what is good fruit? Well, I think that it's a great way to test and discern. Why is the person saying what they're saying? Are they saying it because it has some sort of widespread appeal? Is it for popularity, power, prestige? Or is it a difficult saying that is spoken out of truth and genuine concern for another? But even more basic than that, we as Catholics have sort of won the lottery. We're incredibly fortunate because our church, 2,000 years old, is founded by our Lord himself and has been given the great gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the 2,000-year history of the church, we can see a pattern of teaching that's consistent, and it remains the same. Now, there are many false prophets, false sheep, who are truly ravenous wolves, who have been promoting and continue to promote a change in what the church teaches, saying things that's the old way, this is the new way. The church needs to evolve on this issue or that issue. The church needs to catch up with the times. All of their various ways of saying it reveal a deeper problem. They reveal a rejection of the two millennial consistency of the teachings of the church. The winning the lottery by being Catholic means that we don't have to answer all the questions ourselves. That the church has given us great wisdom. I think back to a young couple in marriage prep. The priest got to the difficult section of marriage prep where he was going to talk to them about the problems of birth control. And with a little bit of nervousness on his own part, he broached the subject. And the bride, who had never heard it before, was listening intently. The groom, almost slumped back in the chair, half dozing, seemed to be not really paying much attention. And after the priest had answered all the bride's questions, he looked at the groom and he said, "Does this make sense to you? Do you have any questions?" And he sat up in a chair and he looked at the priest and he said, "Father, I don't need to understand it. I just need to know what to do. The church is 2,000 years old. I'm 30. What do I know?" Now, I would propose to you that some farm boy wisdom that was said in that moment. And I want you to know the reason why the church teaches. But the acceptance of the church's vision of holiness is the starting point of stability in our own life. While we can face the crisis of authority and the crisis of who to trust, we know that we can trust the church as mater et magister, mother and teacher. That while we can be rightly cautious and test and discern the words of individual leaders within the church, there is a body of church teaching that is consistent, stable, and a grace that God has given us by the power of the Holy Spirit guiding the church. But see, this is where it gets difficult. Now, not because we don't know what to do, but because we have to live it out. The calling of the church is a high calling. The call to holiness is difficult. And so much of Christianity has been watered down to make it easy and appealing to the masses, but in doing so has made it irrelevant. Our Lord himself says that it's the narrow gate and the hard path, the difficult challenge is what he's talking about. St. Thomas, one of the greatest theologians, the greatest theologian in the history of the church, speaks about it as the arduous good. To achieve holiness is the arduous good. It's difficult. The crisis of authority in the church is rooted in the crisis of masculinity in the church. That the masculine virtues need to be part of everybody's life. A willingness to persevere with courage and strength. The gate is narrow and the way is hard. Conversion is hard. Setting aside and turning away from one's sin is hard work. But God's grace can help us with this. God does not leave us wanting. St. Thérèse of Lisieux spoke with such loving tenderness about God's grace and how as a loving father he will lift up the pitiable soul and carry it towards holiness. There are many challenges that we face. Many difficulties, perhaps the greatest, as I've said, is a crisis in authority and leadership. But we don't have to be left without that anchor point in our life. We don't have to be left wondering what is true or not. We don't have to be left wondering, how am I supposed to live my life? Because Christ has established his bride, the church, to be his voice, his hands, his feet, in the world today. And his bride, the church, can guide us in our own life as mother and teacher. And our confidence should not be placed in those who come dressed as sheep but are really ravaging wolves, the false prophets who tickle the ears, and those who point to the wide and flat road of ease and pleasure. But we listen to the voice of Christ that echoes into the church today. And here is our confidence. Here is our life. Here is our path to holiness. There are storm clouds still on the horizon. And while we have faced some challenges, there are many more coming towards us. And I cannot tell you exactly what they are. I don't know. And I'll admit I've been struggling with that these last few weeks, thinking about what next. I don't know what it'll be, and I don't know when it'll happen. but every bit of me is convinced there are a great many challenges that are still coming to us. And so to have confidence in Christ and his church, and to have a deep faith to know that our Lord will never abandon his church, and that God's grace is at work and alive in the sacraments, God's grace is at work and alive in our lives as we say yes to his will. While we work to turn away from sin, seek his forgiveness and his mercy, to live in a state of grace, to live lives active in the works of charity, these will give us meaning, purpose, and confidence. And in spite of the challenges that come, we remain faithful to Christ by his grace. And we will face those challenges. We can face them together, strengthening each other as a community of faith, focused on Jesus, that our eyes remain on him, that we look towards Christ and we trust in the church as mother and teacher. This is the narrow gate, the hard path, the arduous good. It is the life of a disciple, and it is the life that you and I are called to live.